And I try to stick to the stuff that I can factually prove. And that's what we're going to do today, because with all the, you know, loose change and the attempts at debunking a lot of the physical anomalies of loose change, we don't even have to talk about that today. Instead, what I really want to focus on is especially Joe Biden on camera back when he was just a senator. I had him in my scopes because he had met with the head of the Pakistani ISI after 9/11. Now, this same guy was in D.C. the entire week of 9/11, meeting with the who's who, D.C. cream of the crop, from George Tenet, who was the head of the CIA, to both Porter Goss and Bob Graham on the morning of 9/11 that would head that initial commission. And of course, Porter Goss will later become the head of the CIA. Biden actually gets on TV about 3 days later and brags about his meeting with this gentleman. His name is Mahmoud Ahmed, and how he is the most powerful man, if not the second most powerful man, in all of Pakistan. So I thought I would lead in with that, because that's actually something I didn't put in my film. But what I did put in my film was Biden being confronted on it, because General Mahmoud Ahmed wired $100,000 to Atta the week of 9/11.
Mohammed Atta.
Correct.
Yeah, we need to be, for people who are listening, so the ISI is essentially the Pakistan's secret service, intelligence service, responsible apparently for supporting a lot of the, like, the Haqqani network and a lot of terrorist networks. So it's significant to always keep in mind that when they found Osama bin Laden, he was literally a mile away in Abbottabad, Pakistan, a mile away from what was essentially Pakistan's West Point.
And watching, so the idea, porn.
Yeah, and the idea that Pakistan didn't know that he was there is hilarious, because Pakistan makes a lot of money from the anti-terrorist initiative, essentially the money that we give Pakistan to fight terrorism, right? So I just wanted to put that out there.
No, yeah. I'm glad you talked about that, because, you know, we go all the way back when they were helping us run that network against Russia with Osama bin Laden as our ally. In what,
right. We called them the Mujahideen rather than Al-Qaeda or the Taliban. Taliban just means, Talib means student. So They were students of the Quran. Yes.
Absolutely. And I mean, you can go back to, I think it's Rambo 3, when we're, you know, beside the freedom fighters, as they were called at the time. You know.
Yeah, I got to speak to Sylvester Stallone actually about his experience there. It was fucking wild, man. And he's an expert horseman.
Brian.
He was a, yeah. Go on. Sorry.
Supposedly he makes dolphin porn. Go on.
No, I love this, because, again, it kind of humanizes all this material. And I think it'll be more impactful when people realize, here's Joe Biden when he could still speak. This is Joey B. This isn't Zombie Joe. You know, this is when he's like full on gangster making his run. And I'm just going to play this clip really quick. Oh, wrong one. Sorry, guys. I forget which
this
ones I got.
This is awesome. I'm already so excited. All right.
All right. So here's Bryant Gubble. We're just going to play a small little clip of this, and then we're going to get to some other stuff.
Biden is the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. He's on Capitol Hill. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir. As the president and all of his administration seeks to build a coalition preparing for the day when retaliation comes, you had a big meeting last night, I understand, with the head of the Pakistani Secret Service. What can you tell us of that meeting?
Well, it's their counterpart to our CIA, Bryant, and it went incredibly well. Quite frankly, I had long discussions with the State Department and the Secretary of State and with Mr. Armitage, who had met with them already before I met, so I knew what had already transpired. And the bottom line was, I told them what they told them. They've got to choose sides. There is no question. You're either our friend or you're our enemy here. And I am confident that this is at least the second most powerful, if not the most powerful man in Pakistan. They will be cooperative.
So let's just stop it there. Okay, so that's just him talking about it. But what's really interesting to me, and let's bring up a little piece of the film, is that, like I said, General Mahmoud Ahmed, now he wires this money to Atta. Now, the 9/11 Commission will tell you that it was only $500,000 for the entire operation. Now, this would be one-fifth of the funding if that was true. Now, there's a middleman that we'll get to a little bit later, because it was facilitated through a guy named Omar Saeed Sheikh. But we'll get there, okay? I want to just have that graphic up, and I want to show. Here's Bob Graham talking about the classification of this information, and if I bring it back, there's Bob Graham actually talking about that meeting. Here he is. There's Goss. And let's just bring that up quick, too, because Bob Graham at the time is a senator in Florida.
Didn't hide the fact, when we met with him in Pakistan and when he was in Washington, that he was close to the Taliban, that was his job to be close to the Taliban.
Graham would go on PBS.
So he would go on PBS, kind of talk about how these, you know, and a lot of this did eventually get declassified about 15, 16 years later. Here's Colin Powell discussing the same thing about the meetings, actually denying that certain people met with him that we found out did, such as Condoleezza Rice. Here's Biden.
Met with who, Jason?
All these people had met with Ahmed because he was in D.C.
He was the head of the ISI.
Yes, absolutely. So here's, this will lead into Joe on the floor of the Senate threatening Pakistan and then being confronted about his meeting and basically likening it to diplomatic immunity, and we did not arrest Khrushchev when he came.
Floor.
And the word should go out to those who pretend that they wish to be our friends, that they're going to have to make some very difficult choices. Pakistan in particular is going to have to make a very difficult choice very soon. Words will not be sufficient. Actions will be demanded.
When Biden was confronted, he confirmed his meeting with Ahmed, saying Pakistani intelligence was indeed funding the Taliban.
Sir, one question. In the days following 9/11, you met with the head of Pakistani ISI, General Mohad Ahmed. It has since come to light that he ordered Saeed Sheikh to wire $100,000 to Muhammad Atta. Why was he allowed to go back to Pakistan, and why was he questioned, and why were you meeting with him?
I met with him to deliver a message that if he didn't stop supporting the Taliban, we would take him out.
Why did we let him go? We let him fly freely. We never investigated him. We never even looked into him.
Look, there's a thing called diplomatic passports. We did not arrest Khrushchev when he came.
But he financed the hijackers, and you let him go, and he's free. He hijacked the hijackers.
No one knew he financed the hijackers.
It's wired. It's supported.
By
the way, Jason,
yeah.
This is news to me.
You know what? It's news to a lot of people.
This is news to me that Muhammad, I'm sorry, what's his name who ran the ISA?
Basically,
I read that book, Rexford S, about this stuff.
Yes.
I didn't even read that.
Yeah, General Mahmoud Ahmed, who's the head of the ISI. Yeah. But the thing is, we're going to get into that middleman in a minute. But I want to show you.
So we now know that Mahmoud Ahmed, the head of the ISI, the head of Pakistani intelligence, wired Muhammad Atta $100,000.
It gets much worse than that, Brian. You're gonna. I really hope I'm gonna open your eyes on this one, because if you think about that, that is state sponsorship. But what?
Yes, it is.
What's even worse is that Bin Laden and it's in the film also. And I really hope you check out the whole film. But Bin Laden was actually protected by Pakistani intelligence on September 10th, surrounded by the military in a hospital there. And you had whistleblowers within the hospital. Dan Rather put it out in January of that year. It got almost no press. But I want to just play the rest of this quickly, because here's where Joe Biden says that material is indeed classified. Okay, he gets confronted again. And the other thing that's really important about this is you notice none of this was brought up by either side or any mainstream network, not only over the last, 13 years. This was out in 2008. But during the presidential election cycle, so let me just...
Well, the thing is, Jason, I read Lawrence Wright's book, Looming Tower, which I thought was great. I don't know if you read it. And Directorate S, which is about the Pakistani intelligence involvement by two excellent journalists. Mm-hmm. And this is news to me. So this is pretty amazing. I knew that Pakistan had... They were controlling the Taliban and stuff. Like,
yeah.
Wow.
All right, so here's the follow-up on that.
He would later state that the information was indeed classified.
How did you know the ISI was helping the Taliban, sir?
So that's that portion of that. Now, there's really interesting stuff on top of all of it. So the middleman, Brian, is actually the guy that gets convicted of the murder of Daniel Pearl. Now,
the recording has stopped.
Whoa.
Anthony, come on. We're in the middle of cracking something big here.
Anthony.
This meeting is being recorded.
Oh, fuck.
Okay, guys, I've got kind of a backup of audio if you need that. Of course, you'll have to edit that part out, but whatever.
That's good. I love this, dude. This is great.
Great. Awesome. I'm glad you're, it's not something that's quote-unquote enjoyable, but it is true.
I'm all fucking ears, dude.
All right.
Shut up, Sam. Stop gloating, Sam.
So when we get to this gentleman here, Ahmed Omar Saeed Sheikh. This is the guy that really births the horror beheading video with Daniel Pearl. And for those that don't know, Daniel Pearl is this Jewish journalist that ends. That ends up going into the Middle East looking for Pakistani funding and gets targeted and kidnapped and then, of course, has to denounce Israel and all these things on video and ends up being beheaded. Now, Omar Saeed Sheikh actually gets convicted of that. Now, another really interesting thing about this is much earlier than the actual bin Laden raid, which is a little bit suspect to me. I would say Seymour Hersh did a whole piece kind of deconstructing that and what he thought were lies. That's his last mainstream piece ever. Like, that's, I think, 2016. I don't think you can find him anywhere else. Hersh is going to come up way later in this program. But
so he is, Seymour Hersh is a journalist who did a, say that again for me.
So Seymour Hersh, I mean, obviously, you know, the Pulitzer Prize winning journalist. His last really large mainstream piece. Now, I would argue the biggest mainstream piece that got play before that was he was the one that was taking all those WikiLeaks, including the C-130 videos. And he also exposed Abu Ghraib and what was happening there, including the rape of children in front of their parents for intel and all sorts of horrific things that never got published anywhere else. And then I would encourage people to read Hersh's piece on that, because that's what really broke open the black sites when people were actually anti-Getmo, anti-Abu Ghraib. In fact, in 2000...
The CIA salt pit, all those places, we were complicit in the torture of people. I mean, that's a fact.
I mean, these are black sites. We know very, very little about them, Brian. And
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Torture and murder, I should say, because people did die. They were chained to walls. They froze to death. They were hung until they died. This is a fact. This is not fucking conjecture. We know
this.
Well,
here's the craziest thing, Brian. The person who created this whole torture techniques and program was made the head of the CIA.
Well, you mean you're talking about the woman who ran that?
He's talking Bloody Gina Haspel, who ran some of these black sites, and then under the Trump administration got brought in. You know, kind of going back, because I think there's a lot to talk about Saeed Sheikh, because his story is far from done today. Okay,
you know we're doing. By the way, just so you know, Jason, we're doing a follow up after this. We're doing two conspiracy social clubs. If you guys think if we don't get enough information, we're doing at least two. I'm fucking in here.
All right, good. Brian, I'm excited, man, because this really does show the coordinated cover up. And as you know, plausible deniability is everything. Misdirection is everything when you're doing these things. And I think when you have a slogan like 9/11 was an inside job, automatically people go, well, George Bush isn't smart enough to do it. You're damn right he's not. Like, that's someone who was, you know, puppeteered all the way through. In fact, before Barack Obama, before Donald Trump, he was the least qualified to take the office. You know, he'd only served that term as governor. And it wasn't even a full term, I believe, before he announced. But a whole nother story. So Omar Saeed Sheikh, the Daniel Pearl thing, big. But if you remember Benazir Bhutto, when she was making her political run, and there was all sorts of talk of whether bin Laden was even alive before the raid. And remember, they found a lot of weird stuff at the raid. There's, again, go read Hersh's piece. There's enough cloudiness there that who knows what was happening. She had actually accused Omar Saeed Sheikh on television of murdering Osama bin Laden. Okay, I just want to put that out there.
She was later assassinated, people should know.
And
she was later assassinated by her own bodyguards.
And not only assassinated, it took two times. There was an attempt on her life. And when she was actually assassinated, we're talking about first gunfire and then someone not being in the know, and then an explosion that basically finished the job and took out many people in that direction. A highly coordinated assassination on that woman. So when you look at what's going on with him now.
By the way, Bhutto, for you guys listening, Bhutto was the president of Pakistan, essentially, wasn't she?
She was running at the time, and it was her father who was a former president at the time.
He was hung by al-Haq before that. I mean, the Bhuttos took it. They got the fuck kicked out of
him. Yes. And because people don't understand all these dynamics, this is going to be a little odd. But the thing is that right now, Omar Saeed Sheikh has been let go. He is in Europe right now being protected. And I've been doing stories on this. Because, you know, I want to know what's going on. Just 2 days
ago. One of the guys who was just released from Gitmo?
No. Saudi Arabia.
Still alive? Is he still alive?
Oh, yes. He's being protected right now in Europe is what I'm telling you. He's been let out. They released him for his murder.
He was responsible for beheading Pearl?
Yes. They released him. Hey, listen, this guy has... That's the thing, what I'm trying to explain to people is that although there's the Pakistani ISI, double and triple agents do exist, period.
Yeah.
And they work together in these networks where there's plausible deniability, where, again, a lot of the things that they work with aren't the three-letter agencies, but these proxies and shell corporations that they set up. Brian, I'm not sure if you've read this new article out of Newsweek just this week, but I would say everybody needs to take the time to understand what this is. But this is a program called Signature Reduction, okay? And this was published on the 17th of last month in May. And basically, it's going through a decade.
Signature Reduction?
Yeah, well, if you look at it, it says Inside the Military Secret Undercover Army. But Signature Reduction is the first time I've been even heard this term. This is the program that's also running in the United States, domestic terror units, where you name it, they're doing it. There's never even been a congressional hearing on it. You talk about continuity of government, you can't believe it. And I'm just going to show you
They're breaking the firewall between CIA and FBI. CIA is actually involved in domestic.
Everything.
Wow.
So what you're looking at right here, Brian, it looks like a hand, right? Well, yeah. Let me tell you what it actually is. That is a glove that actually goes over your hand, can pretty much have any biometric fingerprint put on it, and emits human oils.
Oh, my God.
And that's in the article. Anybody can check that out. There's a lot more, but it evades fingerprinting. So these people now have the tools to kind of evade their own biometric network and surveillance system. For instance, guys, when we talk about, for instance, just quickly the Capitol thing, I would encourage people to read Annie Jacobson because she does it, and it would be great for you. You know, Rogan had her on a while back, but you can get all of her books in audio form. So when you're on the road or whatever, you can just listen to them if you'd like. She started with Area 51, quickly realized this wasn't about little green men, and these were about black projects. And she takes you through DARPA. She takes you through Operation Paperclip. And she takes you all the way up now into First Platoon and the biometrics used and utilized in the war on terror in Afghanistan and Iraq and beyond, right? Because people don't realize when they were getting information on these villages, they were taking their bios. You know, they were taking their iris prints, everything. You can see 2003 movies when they were doing that. And now they're bringing that here. And she talks about this battalion that was using this and certain people being targeted with this technology. And it's frightening. For instance.
Well, so, you know, so for me, what I've been worried about, and if I know about just this, you can imagine what they have. So one of the things is they have a laser that can pinpoint your heartbeat. And your heartbeat beats at its own signature. So you can literally shoot a laser or whatever it is into somebody from 100 yards away and know exactly who it is. Facial recognition. Already, Delta asked me on when I was, I was checking in. They said, here, do you want your face? You can just have your face read. So if that's already here, what the fuck else do we have? I do know this, Jason, that there was the CIA woman who had a meeting with, I think it was Trump or Obama. She was a woman who's responsible for the disguises, and she pulled her fucking face off. And he thought he was talking to one of his aides.
So
that's how good this shit is going on.
So no,
really?
It was actually
was talking to the president, and the woman was talking to the president and pulled her face off. And the president went, "What the fuck? This is the kind of stuff we're dealing with, dude."
And actually, it's way before them. That's actually George Bush Sr. and his CIA. I covered that story. We're going to show it to you right here.
It goes back that far, Jason?
Yep, there he is right there with the woman in the mask that worked for him. And then she pulls it off right there. So, yes, that's that old, my friend. I've been covering this for a long time, Brian, and you were talking about basically type of directed energy weapons and technology, not just long but short range. And the White House just disclosed this month that they have two attacks within D.C. that they've now acknowledged called Havana Syndrome. One in Arlington in 2019, and I believe one in the Ellipse in 2020. So to say
it
that
happened
these
first in Havana, right, where it was these energy things where people just literally completely discombobulated, really sick immediately, and when they walked into that room, that happened. Then when they come out of the room, they were fine. This is fucking nuts.
Yes. Hey everybody, Jason Burmis here, and what you just watched was just a very small excerpt from my appearance on the Conspiracy Social Club with Brian Callen and Sam Tripoli. Here's the good news. If you're a premium subscriber to myself or anybody on Rockfin, you can go over to Rockfin right now and watch the almost 2-hour broadcast where we hit so many other important subjects regarding 9/11. Guys, I love you, and I hope to see you over on the Rockfin.